Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 525 live from the studio. We're going to do the radio show for this weekend. This is Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 35. And it's actually late on Thursday night, early Friday morning, because I'm still getting ready to load in for the trip I was going to leave tonight. And it just turned out to be, first of all, it's been raining. And I just don't even want to think about driving in this kind of rain. It's this sort of misty, hard to, it's not a storm, it's just bad rain, and until it clears, I don't want to leave. The second thing is, there's a bunch of other stuff I got to do. In fact, I just came back from Walmart, and so I'm going to talk about that in one of the podcasts I do this weekend. As I head up to the Upper Peninsula, going to come down the Huron side of Michigan, down to Cleveland, Detroit, and then Cleveland. And then after the convention, I'm going to be in the streets at the RNC for a couple of days, and then back to the air show at Oshkosh. So that's really, really exciting, and there should be some good podcasts in that. So that's the plan. But anyway, I'm here in the studio getting ready to load in for the trip. And I thought, well, I got to post the radio show and get that done before tomorrow. Now, if you're in business for yourself and you have a plumbing emergency, what do you do? Well, a lot of people in business don't really think about that because it's business. You think of plumbing emergencies as something that happens at home, but it happens in business all the time. And a lot of times it means lost customers and lost business because you got to close the doors because of code issues or whatever. If you have a plumbing emergency, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. So if you're in Golden Valley, if you're in Maple Grove, if you are in Lakeville, if you're, you know, anywhere in the metro, they can take care of you. They've got a plumber that is near you in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. You can also look them up online at ryanplumbing.com. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. They do a lot of business stuff, a lot of business proposals, as well as business emergency service. So don't forget this if you're in business. And it doesn't matter if it's a big business or a small business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating can take care of you on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol where they've always been, and metro-wide from that location in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Because in business, when it comes to keeping all of your systems operating, heating, air conditioning, plumbing, you want reliable service. And that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Okay, let's roll segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. To hear all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. The stakes are raised next week as the Republicans begin the convention process with the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. I'm going to be going there aboard Mobile Podcast Command, a 2000 Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance, really a monster, which has been repurposed as a mobile podcast studio. And I've chosen to be in the streets outside the convention hall. I was ambivalent about even attending the convention, but I do think that there's going to be a story in the streets in Cleveland. So in the final segment of this hour, I'm going to talk about covering past conventions from the inside and what I expect from folks outside in the streets. But the bottom line is, I think there's going to be some kind of a fight as the Never Trump crowd, which I guess you could call the Unbound crowd now, attempts to prevent the New York developer from being nominated on the first ballot. The Unbound word comes from the idea that delegates are in fact free to choose whatever candidate they feel, fits their conscience when it comes to who they think should be president. Now, that's debatable. My own feeling is that the Republican establishment will close ranks with the Unbound people to deny Trump the nomination if they're successful, we're going to have a completely different conversation, a more serious conversation about the primary process, starting with Iowa. Because if we're not going to nominate the candidates who win the primaries, or even use the primaries as guides for who the people apparently or could possibly want to be their nominee in their political party, what's the point of having the primaries? And I'm, of course, not attached to a candidate, and I'm certainly not attached to having primary elections, but they are a feature and a fairly permanent feature in the current time frame of our political process. Then there is going to be the Trump supporters who I am sure going to show up in force outside the convention hall. What's their reaction going to be if something happens and they pull a switch at the RNC in Cleveland in 2016? Could it happen? Yes. Could it not happen? Yes. You know, I don't want to predict the future, but it should be pretty interesting to see how this whole Unbound thing plays out. So there's a lot of questions on the eve of the Republican convention. In fact, most GOP delegates, operatives, hangers-on, and of course the media have been in Cleveland for the last few days, or I guess the last week or more, preparing for the big confab. Now, in my state, which is Minnesota, there will be primary elections in August in several congressional districts as candidates face challenges in their efforts to win election to the U.S. Congress in November. One of the biggest stories in Minnesota congressional politics is in the 2nd District, which is just south and east of the Twin Cities, where quite a fight is shaping up, not between Democrats and Republicans, but between Republicans. And that's why it's news. Anytime Republicans fight, it's news these days. Last weekend was a perfect upper Midwestern weekend. We had days that we will all remember, days our kids will remember, days like we remember growing up. Brilliant sunshine, verdant green from fields, fully flowered trees and bushes, perfectly clear blue skies, and warm temperatures. These are great days for summer celebrations and especially parades. And of course, if you're running for office, work in politics, volunteer for a candidate, whatever, guess what? You're walking and, you know, working these parades, really running and sweating in these parades, handing out literature, buttons, stickers, candy, whatever your guy is pushing. And this is kind of a neat thing because everybody's doing this, Democrat and Republican. Well, I got an opportunity to ride in a parade behind the endorsed Republican candidate in CD2, Jason Lewis. And so we're going to go inside a political parade because, of course, the tape was rolling as Mobile Podcast Command rolled through the parade. And we're going to catch up at the end of the parade with Jason Lewis, who is the candidate in the 2nd District, the endorsed Republican candidate, and get his views on the causes and costs of these battles, which are taking place inside the Republican Party and which have become so much a part of Republican politics these days, especially in Minnesota. Then we're going to talk about the Great Lakes. The Great Lakes region, truly one of the most historic and storied parts of the United States, and I think it's often forgotten, overlooked in favor of greater vistas out west, or both the east and west coast beaches and mountains, or the unique history of the 13 original colonies, or the beauty of a place like Oregon or California. But the Great Lakes region is the industrial heartland of the United States. And if it is the industrial heartland of the United States, it was also once the frontier. So I'm going to be heading to Cleveland and Mobile Podcast Command, and I think it's going to be a great, fun trip in preparation for the Republican National Convention coverage at Cleveland because, I live in Minnesota, and sometimes you can overlook the really cool things, you know, right in your backyard. I'll talk a little bit in this show about the Great Lakes region and the history, but I grew up in Chicago, and of course, my family liked to take short road trips, which is popular when I grew up because we didn't have the money for planes. We couldn't go to Disneyland, so we just took these short road trips around the Midwest, and I can remember driving up to Ontario and driving up the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and visiting Wisconsin and visiting, Indiana and Ohio, where the Great Lakes figures in so prominently. When you think about it, you know, from Minnesota with the Edmund Fitzgerald all the way over to Cleveland and Akron and that whole region of northern Ohio, the Great Lakes, Michigan, you know, Lake Huron and so forth, the Great Lakes are so important to the history of the United States. And, you know, I've kind of ignored them. I've been all over the country. I've been out west. I've been out east. I've been down south. But I haven't been in the upper Midwest and in the Great Lakes region, traveled that part of the country in a long, long time. So I am looking forward to heading up through northern Minnesota, over to northern Wisconsin, up through the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and coming down all the way down through Detroit to Cleveland in my sort of, meandering trip over to Cleveland for the Republican National Convention, and I'm really looking forward to the things I can uncover in this trip. And so I'm going to talk about that in this show. And then, of course, it's back to Wisconsin for the big air show at Oshkosh, which also is one of America's greatest events in celebration of aviation and individual entrepreneurialism and individual creativity, going back to the days when guys would work on their home-built planes on the flight line at Oshkosh. So that is all coming up in this installment of the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show, as well as next week on the show as I head out in Mobile Podcast Command. So if you want to learn more about my trip, you can visit the Bob Davis Podcast.com. You can subscribe to the podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com, and you can also subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. All of that at thebobdavispodcast.com. So that's the promotional part of this part of the show. So I'm going to have some interesting podcasts coming up on my travels, and then when I get to Cleveland, and some interesting Bob Davis Podcast radio shows going forward for the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned. Coming up, right in a parade with me and Mobile Podcast Command as volunteers for a political candidate campaign for their guy. To contact me, Bob Davis, just send me an email through the website at thebobdavispodcast.com. All right, let's get on with the show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of the episodes of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, visit gcnlive.com. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Hey, we're back in the studio just ahead of segment two of the Bob Davis Podcast radio show for this week, talking about the parade, which is great. The parade stuff came out great, edited down. And then, of course, I've got an interview with Jason Lewis coming up here from the parade in Lakeville, which is pretty cool. So I'm getting ready to go on my trip, and I'm taking a break from yoga. And it's probably a good idea because I have been hitting it really hard because I can. And why is it that I can do two yoga classes a day? I can do sculpts and I can do all this stuff because of Hydrus. Because the thing with yoga is you're in crowded rooms, it's over 100 degrees, it's high humidity, especially in the summer. You end up sweating a lot. I took a power yoga class this week that was, I mean, we were sweating within 10, 20 minutes of the class. And the thing is, with all of that sweating, perspiration, in these hot classes, you can easily get dehydrated, even if you drink a lot of water. Because the thing with water is, if you drink a quart of water before class, it's going to take 40 minutes to get into your system. And so people can be overcome, and they get dehydrated, and they can't practice at the level that they are able to or they would like to. The other thing is, you get up the next day and you're sore. And I thought for years that soreness went with the territory. And as I've said, I was like, okay, I'll just be sore. I don't care. But then I found Hydrus, and Hydrus transformed my yoga practice. I was telling somebody about it this week. Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S, doesn't matter what you do, cycling, CrossFit, lifting, competitive sports. Lots of athletes are using Hydrus because it makes a huge difference. It is a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to get critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness. They've tested it. There is no sugar in it, which is the thing that most of these drinks use to get, to get you hydrated. Hydrous doesn't have sugar, which means it's great for weight cuts and things of that nature. Hydrous helps you take it to the edge, and that is what it is all about, because that's where you grow, on that edge. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrousPerformance.com. That's HydrousPerformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrousPerformance.com, or you can click on the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, and you'll see the Hydrous banner come up there. You click on that, takes it to their page. Lots of information about what it is and how it works. HydrousPerformance.com. All right, let's roll segment two. Roll it. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For more of the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Well, if you're working for a candidate, running for office, or volunteering for someone who's running, this summer you're probably walking, maybe even running alongside in parades, handing out literature and helping your guy. So we're going to go inside one of those campaigns in Lakeville, Minnesota, the Pan-O-Prague Parade, or the Panorama of Progress Parade, going back to 1967 in Lakeville, the heart of the 2nd Minnesota Congressional District.
So this is the Panorama of Progress Parade in Lakeville, Minnesota.
So enter Mary Catherine, who...
is
working for Jason Lewis, a volunteer. She was running alongside the truck, and I got her to come in and grab my phone and some other stuff. But yeah, this is Lakeville, Minnesota. It goes back to the 1850s when they built a road or something connecting military forts in St. Paul and Faribault. Shortly after they built the fort, then it became a town. In Panorama of Progress, or Pan-O-Prague, in Lakeville.
Can you do me a favor? Mary...
was originally held to celebrate the opening of the Air Lake Industrial Park and the growth and the progress of Lakeville going back to 1967. Now, if you're not from Minnesota or the Twin Cities, Lakeville is like 20 miles straight south from the Twin Cities. It's one of the fastest growing towns in the state. About 60,000 people out here, give or take, which makes it pretty big by small town standards. So yeah, parades are a ton of fun. And if you're running for Congress or you're volunteering, this is what you're doing. You're walking in parades, you're handing out literature, and you're going to be doing this until early fall.
Hey, what are you doing in my truck?
Nothing.
Are you campaigning for somebody?
Jason Lewis.
Oh my God, Jason Lewis.
Jason, do you want a sticker?
The CEO of the Bob Davis podcast prevents me from actually putting one on.
I will put it here.
Yeah, and everybody wants you to campaign for
him. Thank you.
And I try to stay out of it, but I did want to be in the parade, so.
So you said I could announce.
Oh, yeah, you can say it. I can't.
How do I do it?
I don't know.
I mean, announce it, like in the PA.
Oh, you want to announce it in the PA? Yeah.
What we're going to do in this podcast is take you inside one of these parades with its campaigning, as you're hearing. This time for Jason Lewis, who's running for Congress in Minnesota's 2nd District. And as this gets underway, we're starting to roll now. I'm going to talk in between Mary's exhortations for people to vote and the conversation in general inside Mobile Podcast Command as we roll through the panorama of Progress Parade in Lakeville.
Get out and vote for Jason. I don't know what they're doing. They've taken over the PA.
On this beautiful, brilliant, sunny and warm July afternoon.
She's telling him.
She's telling him.
I'm telling him.
In that deep female voice of hers.
I do have a deep.
Now they're throwing things at me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have Jason Lewis, Minnesota. Mr. Ryan, welcome to the podium.
Yeah, he's not in the truck because that would constitute an endorsement.
He's over there in the yellow shirt saying hello.
Lakeville.
Dave Thompson
is in the heart of the 2nd District, the 2nd Congressional District in Minnesota. And there is a pretty intense struggle going on here And it's not between Republicans and Democrats. It's between Republicans in this race for the 2nd District seat, which has been held by Congressman John Klein since 1998. So you have four Republicans competing to run against Democrat Angie Craig in an August 9th Republican primary, as you just heard, which is why we're at this parade. And that includes Matthew Erickson, John Howe, Jason Lewis, and Darlene Miller. Matt Erickson is the district's chief Trump supporter. John Howe is a former state senator and mayor of Red Wing, Minnesota. Of course, Jason is a former talk show host, my friend, and political commentator. And Darlene Miller is the CEO of a company which is apparently also a defense contractor.
We're all dorks.
And the fireworks just started when Congressman Klein endorsed Darlene Miller, who withdrew from the endorsement race at the CD2 convention back in May. That same convention endorsed Jason Lewis to run as a Republican for the seat John Klein is retiring from. So now all the candidates are going to have to battle it out in the August 9th primary in the 2nd District, which Lakeville, of course, is just a part of, but it's an important and representative part of the 2nd District. Now, I know John Klein, and I've known Jason for many years. Jason and I worked together at KSTP and News Talk, and I don't endorse candidates. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Jason's a friend of mine, obviously, as you're going to hear, and you have heard. Most people know it. But they invited me to come out and ride behind their truck, and so I said, you know what, I'm going in the parade and run my lights and turn on my ambulance and everything else. And there's my ambulance siren. And then, of course, Mary Catherine took over the PA, and I let her. So you're going to hear a lot of of her exhortations to vote for Jason. And, you know, you can take it as an endorsement or not. I don't care who you vote for.
August 9th, vote for them in the primary. Vote for them. Dave's not running for anything.
They're not listening to you anyway.
That's true. They're not. What? They're not listening to me?
But this is interesting, this fight in the 2nd District between Republicans.
This is hilarious.
Jason Lewis, Minnesota's Mr. Right, over there in the yellow shirt.
This does not constitute
vote for Jason Lewis.
An endorsement.
Let me have that for a second. This does not constitute an endorsement on my part. I'm just the driver. It's just my truck. They've taken it over. They jumped in here. I happened to leave one of the doors locked, and they took over.
Vote for Jason Lewis.
See, now we have story content.
We do have story content.
We have a plot line.
Oh, we do have a plot line.
I guess the big fight started when Jason took some slightly different opinions about foreign policy in one of my podcasts. And, you know, Klein's people and Darlene Miller's people kind of characterized it incorrectly. And I asked people to listen to the podcast and hear his point of view, which is basically that you can't have small government at home and big government abroad. It's controversial, but he tends to think that the two go hand in hand. And it's a difficult question because it involves core issues on foreign policy. But the thing is, and I've talked a lot about foreign policy in these podcasts, and we're going to have to rethink our foreign policy. And it doesn't come out of a box. It is not a plug-and-play, polyglot, process where you pull different things from the 1980s and plug them in to the current time frame. Coming up, we're going to catch up with candidate Jason Lewis at the end of the parade and get his thoughts on the primary race as well as talk about issues. To hear more of the Parade Podcast or to contact me, Bob Davis, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. And thanks for listening. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Okay, just ahead of segment three, which is the Jason Lewis interview from the Lakeville Parade, where we had such a good time. It was so great, and it was just so wonderful. So just ahead of segment three. So on the trip that I'm getting ready to take, going to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, as I've mentioned in this show, heading down to Cleveland to be in the streets, and of course coming back through Chicago to go to the EAA Air Show at Oshkosh for Alpha Systems. Alpha Systems started the angle of attack revolution because they make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator, which has so many new wrinkles that you owe it to yourself to check out the Alpha Systems banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, because it takes you to their website. You can see videos that show how Alpha Systems saves lives. Because if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, having a visual indicator of your angle of attack, especially on final approach or when you're maneuvering, is really, really important. Once again, click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's FAA approved. They want to get it on your plane's dashboard today. And they're going to be at the air show. If you're going, you know, listen to my podcast, because I'll tell you where those guys are and you can check them out. Alpha Systems. Okay, here's segment three, the Jason Lewis interview. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of this show, visit GCNlive.com. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, to send me an email or sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, The Bob Line, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District is being vacated by the retirement of John Klein, who's been serving in Congress since the late 90s. Certainly the Democrats would like to pick up that seat, and their candidate Angie Craig marched in a parade in Lakeville this weekend, where I interviewed Jason Lewis. But all the focus is on a four-way primary race between Republicans on August 9th. Jason and I talked at the parade about the primary race and some of the issues driving the 2nd District.
Unlike the Democrats, we're dealing with this internecine nonsense that is just not necessary. I mean, frankly, we need to rally around a candidate. I'm going to be the nominee. We don't need this. We're going to have our hands full in the fall. So I hate to see, to be perfectly blunt, other Republicans jeopardizing our ability in the fall to hold on to the seat.
What's the issue?
I have no idea. I have no idea. We've got the overwhelming support. We've got the endorsement. The polls look good. I don't know. If I could read somebody else's mind or predict interest rates, I'd be doing something else. But who knows? I know it's unnecessary.
What do people ask you about when you're out here? Like when you talk to people in the parade, and you talk to people after, because all the candidates are doing this, but I mean, what do they ask about aside from we miss you on the radio?
Well, it sounds like a cliche, but they really do want to dramatically change the system. And that's why Bernie Sanders, that's why Donald Trump have some traction. People see the parties playing between the 40-yard lines in many cases. They see the red versus blue nonsense, putting party above principle. And they're just tired of it. And they want serious change. I tell people, Bob, reminds me of 1980. If you remember 1976, you're old enough to remember that, right?
What? Really? Exactly.
You were a lot of fun before running water. You remember that. Used to be electricity. I've changed it to running water. They're all the same old jokes. But in 76, the Democrats ran this ad of Reagan when he was running against Ford. And it was just a black picture. It said, President Reagan goes black. Think about it. Like, it would be just unbelievable to elect this guy. He's too dangerous. He's this or that. And 4 years later, people were falling over themselves to vote for the guy. Because after 4 years of malaise, they wanted change. So I sense a very similar scenario to 1980.
Is this a malaise, or is this, I hate to use this phrase, the new normal? I mean, are we living through a malaise? Is that what's going on? Is
I
this
think so.
Like the 1970s?
You know, people can talk about anything they want, but the bottom line is I think families in this economy still feel as though they're one paycheck away from a total disaster. Look what happened to Blue Cross Blue Shield getting the latest to get out of MinSure and Obamacare. So they're going to be a whopping, what, one company in MinSure maybe? And premiums are going to then really skyrocket as though they haven't already, right? So people look at that and they say, yeah, don't tell me this economy's going great guns. We haven't grown 3% in 1 year during the Obama years.
That's true.
And so people are saying, and they're not you know, that's not manifest out there because the pundits and certainly some candidates want to talk about something else. But that I sense that. That's palpable to me out here.
Well, I'm wondering whether the same solutions are going to, you know, because this is what you heard from Ted Cruz. We're going to lower tax rates and, we're going to cut the deficit.
Let's
and that's going to solve all these problems.
Well, let's look. One of the reasons that people are so distrustful, and I'll give you a perfect example, was budget sequestration. And you and I have talked about this before, I believe. But in 2011, we had the budget deal. Obama, unbelievably enough, signed on to it. So if we couldn't come up with entitlement reform, we would cut domestic discretionary 10% across the board. And that included Republican programs and Democrat programs. It was working. It lowered the deficit by a few hundred billion. We actually had real cuts. They weren't cuts in the baseline growth. They were real cuts.
And in defense as well.
Across the board. Yeah. It was across the board. Right. And that is the sort of you know, attitude where you got to go to Washington and say, look, there's no sacred cows. We got to cut everybody's program. And if everybody has skin in the game, and I'm not talking about draconian cuts. I'm talking about a modicum of fiscal responsibility. But if everybody feels they have skin in the game, and it's not this party versus this party, the country will step up. And that's what we're about.
So
that is different, though, to your point.
Well, it's different in the sense that it doesn't seem to me that the same solutions are going to work with the types of problems we have right now. My sense is that the biggest economic problem we have right now is all of this. It's the balance sheets of the central banks, not just in the United States, and it's the corporate debt and the sovereign debt across the world.
Great irony, and this goes to Japan in the lost decade and goes to the New Deal in 1938 after, you know, I remember Treasury Secretary Henry, well, I don't remember, but I've read Treasury
Since
Secretary Henry,
water.
Yeah, exactly, Morgenthau said, look, we've had 6 years of spending and we're in the same place we were before in 1938. But to your point about monetary policy, it's a very good one because what happened is engineering all that debt initially gave us these asset bubbles in tech stocks in the 90s, then housing, now maybe bonds, maybe stocks. But what it also gave us was this massive debt load. So now they can't really engineer another fake recovery by creating fiat money. Because the balance sheets are full of debt.
Well, that was my point about the same solutions.
Right, that will not work. The Fed's out of tools. And what fundamentally has happened is we've tried to have the central bank monetary policy make up for bad fiscal policy. There's no magic bullet here. We got to go to Washington and make certain that the Fed doesn't have to monetize the debt because we're not spending as much. And that's the one thing politicians don't want to do, cut spending.
They would much rather have it be monetized because that's the easy way out. So my sense is that your opponent in the Republican primary, August 9th, Miller, right, is trying to position you as a trade protectionist. Her involvement with the Clinton initiative and everything else. Are you a trade protectionist? Are you in line with the Trump view these treaties?
I am a Ricardian. I believe in David Ricardo's comparative advantage and specialization. That's all a good thing. But the problem with the trade deals is they're currently constructed by multilateral organizations. They don't resemble country A and country B getting together saying, okay, I'll drop my tariffs, you drop your tariffs, sign this piece of paper, we're done. That's free trade. This looks more like the tax code, where certain corporations get special carve-outs of these deals. In fact, if you look at TPP, there's a special exemption for the number of automobiles from one company that can come into L.A.'s port. That's not a trade deal. That's a ridiculous tax code, the carve-out.
Well, that's why they take 25 years to negotiate, and then that's the excuse to say, well, it took 25 years to negotiate, and yet, another Republican, Tom Emmer, voted for that. So,
do
the Republicans vote for that? And if they don't, are they against free trade, or are you with Donald Trump, who says these are bad deals and we need to either renegotiate them or...
I'm a free trader. Specialization is good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like it during the day when I don't have to turn on my light bulbs. That saves me money. So I just take this free labor called the sun. Doesn't cost me anything. Puts light bulb manufacturers out of work. But, that's a silly notion of... It was actually Frederick Bastiat had the petition of the candle makers because they wanted everybody's shades to come up during the day to keep candle makers in business. Protectionism to that degree is silly. But that doesn't mean the trade deals as they're currently constructed are good. You can have free trade and do bilateral negotiations. So you drop your tariffs, I'll drop mine. But these deals end up becoming special interest carve-outs all too often. So you've got to scrutinize them. And Congress needs to vote on them.
And just to talk about Miller a little bit. So What do you make of the Clinton Global Initiative and the stuff with the president's, you know, isn't that someone that's working across the aisle and
I think the establishment in both parties, certainly, but the establishment even in our party got really nervous when they looked at our candidacy and said, oh, this guy could win and actually change some things. So they found an establishment candidate, and they're doing all the things establishment candidates do, which means if that person ever gains power, there's not going to be a dime's worth of difference than what's going on right now. And that's the great debate right now. That's the great fight. You either want change or you don't.
Thanks to Jason Lewis once again for doing the interview. And of course, next week, the RNC kicks off in Cleveland. And of course, I'll be in the streets outside the hall where I think the real story is going to be. Will the unbound delegates deny the nomination to the winner of most of the primary elections this spring? And what about the Trump supporters in the street? Next. To hear all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. In the studio here, just ahead of segment 4 for the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show this week. Once again, thanks to Ryan Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts for so long. I really, really appreciate it, Greg Ryan. And don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service for your business. They can take care of you. They are metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. In St. Paul, call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They can take care of you. They're really great at emergency service. Remember, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, especially business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And if you've got a business job to have them bid on, definitely remember Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And check them out at ryanplumbing.com. Also, thanks again to Hydrus for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast, not only because they make a great product and I use it, but because I recommend it for everyone. Hydrus will transform whatever it is that you do, cycling, CrossFit, lifting, competitive sports. It's a new high-performance beverage that gets electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness. Hydrus will help you take it to the edge, and honestly, that's what it's all about. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S, H-Y-D-R-U-S. HydrusPerformance.com, or click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. All right, here's segment 4 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. To hear all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. It's hard to believe that the time has finally come. The Republican National Convention kicks off at Cleveland next week. The Democrats convene in Philadelphia about a week later. And the big wigs and the delegates are already in Cleveland on the Republican side, either trying to spur or head off a huge fight for the Republican presidential nomination. Will the unbound delegates stop Trump? Can they? And what's it like to cover one of these big national conventions? And why have I decided to be in the streets outside the hall rather than inside in air-conditioned comfort?
It's a stream of people who are basically spinners that walk up and down Radio Row. And then there's the usual collection of Republican, you know, musical artists and TV stars that wander this little area of Radio Row.
Because their job is to sit down with the radio guys and tell them what's going on, and it's just all spin. There's no substance to any of that. You're not going to find out very much about what is happening at the convention by listening to the radio stations. And the TV stuff is all around the top of the arena, so they all look down into the arena. And then what happens with the TV stations, the bigger the TV network, then the politicians will visit, and so it's the same thing. It's the Newt Gingriches of the world. It's Paul Ryan, Newt Gingrich, or whoever, and surrogates who will wander around up at that top tier and stop in to see the people that are, you know, reporting from ABC and CBS and Fox and all these other places. That's what it is. And what I think is missing is some kind of deeper reporting. I've chosen to be out in the street because I think that's where the color is going to be. I think that's where there's going to be some tense moments, perhaps, and I think there's going to be some colorful people out there. And I also want to talk to people who are, I want to talk to Clevelanders. So if you're listening to this and you happen to live in Cleveland, send me an email because I'd like to get with you. I want to talk to people from Cleveland about what they think of all this and what their view of just the attention of the world. When I get out there, I'm going to talk a lot about the history of this region. It's one of the reasons I'm really excited to go from Duluth across the top of Wisconsin, you know, in the Great Lakes region, because that's what it's all about. That's what all of these towns are about: railroads and lakes and industry. And it's referred to as the Rust Belt, but it is the industrial heart of the nation and has been the industrial heart of the nation for many, many, many years. And obviously in recent times, with the way manufacturing is, and with new technologies and so forth, and with comparative advantage, as Jason Lewis and I talked about on the previous podcast, you know, Ohio, Northern Ohio, you know, Gary, Indiana, Northern Indiana, Wisconsin, they're competing very hard for business. Companies there are competing very hard, and states are competing very hard for manufacturing businesses be able to compete in the world. I will say very quickly, and I don't want to go on too long, but I will say very quickly that one of the things you learn when you go up that corridor north of Milwaukee toward Green Bay, Oshkosh, and Appleton is there's a lot of manufacturing in Wisconsin right there along the lake as well. So I'm really excited to be going into the Great Lakes region. Now, we are part of the Great Lakes region here in Minnesota, not necessarily in southern and central Minnesota, but certainly in the northern part of the state. The lake has a lot to do with, you know, the history of the state of Minnesota and the kind of people that live here, and the fact that it became economically viable largely because of lake traffic. You know, the whole Edmund Fitzgerald thing going back to the 1830s and 1840s and 1850s. So it's a pretty cool part of the country to tour. You just don't want to tour it in the winter. You know, you want to tour it at a perfect time like this. So I'm really, really excited about that. Now, one more thing I want to talk about. So I do believe that the color and maybe even the big story is going to be outside the convention hall, not inside the convention hall. They're going to be doing things to get attention because they want the big media to come out. And, of course, out in within this exclusion zone around the arena is a whole bunch of media trucks. So that's where all the media trucks are. That's where I suppose I would be if I was able to get credentials. They can very easily send a crew out into the street to do this. And the thing I noticed, certainly it was true in Iowa, you know, you'll see TV crews standing on the corner just grabbing people and talking to them because that's what they do these days. There isn't really much investigative reporting. There aren't many journalists who are sitting down and pouring through documents and finding out information and crafting news stories unless they work for the LA Times or the New York Times. As much as some people hate it, at least they have a newsroom and they have people working on stories. Hate it in some quarters, but or the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post that has a reporting staff, and they'll be there, and their reporting staffs will be there, and they'll be working their sources, and of course, you know, columnists and people who are on the inside will be working their sources. I believe a lot of those people are also biased, and that they are also practicing to a certain degree advocacy journalism, which I think advocacy media and journalism is one of the biggest problems in this country. You know, the big story at the Republican National Convention is going to be, are they going to dump Trump? And my sources tell me that the unbound people, and I'm going to explain this in a second, believe that they have enough votes to deny Trump a victory on the first ballot. And with some rule changes, it's possible that there could be, that the big story coming out of this convention could be that the Republicans do not nominate Trump. I don't know if that's going to happen. I've talked about that. I have said they're going to try and dump him, and I still believe that they are. They may yet close ranks around him. Just as I'm speaking, you know, there's a new Quinnipiac poll that shows Trump in the battleground states in a very close race with Hillary Clinton. I believe this is going to be a close race, regardless of who's nominated, because I don't think that Clinton is a real strong candidate for the Democrats. There's the same kinds of divisions on the Democrat side as there are on the Republican side, maybe even worse on some, you know, among some groups, and they don't like Hillary Clinton. They don't like the establishment in the Democratic Party. The only problem with that is, of course, she's not far left enough for that group. So this is, we're talking about a very, very far left political group in the Democratic Party. But there is the same dissatisfaction with establishment politics in the mainline parties. There is this question in the Republican Party of whether or not delegates are bound or unbound. Now, I said a long time ago, my view of it was that delegates were button men, that they were selected to vote for candidates on the basis of the primaries in their state. And I guess I was wrong about that. Delegates are essentially representatives, and they, you know, they can vote any way that they want. At least that's the big fight right now. The candidacy of Gerald Ford forced the passing of, I believe it's Rule 16, that explicitly states that the delegates have to vote according to their state. So now it's all about this Rule 16, which apparently sunsets before the 2016 convention. But if the Rules Committee decides to reinforce it, or reintroduce it, or repass it again, then Rule 16 will be in effect. I don't think the establishment wants to nominate Donald Trump as the candidate. Millions of people in this country voted in the primaries. It certainly is a representative sample of the electorate, whether it's Democrat or Republican, for the most part. Okay? If you think that the delegates are going to go to Cleveland and ignore all of the primary voters and dump Trump, which they may do, they better have a real good reason for doing that. Because, you know, what they're doing is they're ignoring the popular electorate. Now, I understand, and I've said many times, you're not selecting a president in the primary vote. But if they end up nominating someone else, and I think that there's a very good chance that they'll nominate Ryan and Rubio, we'll see, or some sort of unity ticket, and I wouldn't rule out Jeb Bush. I wouldn't rule out, you know, I don't trust Newt Gingrich as far as I can spit, and I don't trust any of those establishment Republicans as far as I can spit. And if you're a Trump supporter, this is something you have to watch out for. But anyway, I don't think that they're going to just ignore the millions and millions of people that voted for Donald Trump. Well, we're going to leave it there and pick it up at Cleveland next week. That's all we have for this week's installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to visit thebobdavispodcast.com and sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast's Bobline newsletter. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. Bye-bye. This is the Bob Davis Podcast's Radio Show. In the studio. Well, I'm getting ready to roll out. I got a lot of loading to do in the rain and getting everything all ready to go for the trip, and I'm super, super excited about that. Thank you guys for listening and following and sharing to the Bob Davis Podcast. I'm hitting the mic stand. That's what that noise is. Sorry about that. But the whole thing with the studios, it's supposed to be raw. So that's what the whole thing is. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Also, Stitcher.com for Android devices and iTunes, of course, for iPhones. Or TuneIn works really well. BlogTalkRadio.com. Listening to the radio show at GCNLive.com or on the Patriot at AM 1280 in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 4 p.m. on Sundays, and new affiliates as we get them. And of course, thanks for liking and sharing on social media, Facebook and Twitter. I'm at Bob Davis Podcasts on Twitter and The Bob Davis Podcasts on Instagram. I love Instagram. It's great. I wish there was a way for me to get on the Pokemon game because everyone's doing that, but that will have to wait for another day, or maybe Snapchat first and then Pokemon. And thanks, of course, for your donations for mobile podcast command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Yeah, I'm heading out, and I really appreciate the donations that come through PayPal. I don't care if it's $5, a dollar, or as much as you want. It is definitely appreciated, as I have talked about, and I'm going to be out for a while. So anything that you can send me is great because it goes right into the tank or to buy Komodo Dragon coffee or beef jerky or whatever, which is what I'm eating on the road. This is not some kind of luxury trip. This is mobile podcast command, and I cannot wait to get on the road. I'm super pumped. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 525, Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show number 35, I think, right? 35. Thanks for listening. Back to work. Bye-bye.